I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
David. Welcome to Random Movie Generator. How are you?
I'm raring to go. I'm a horse in the paddock who's got its hooves up in the air, who just wants to be let out so he can rush through the fields of freedom.
Yeah, welcome everybody to this movie podcast where we review a randomly chosen movie from the week before and a current movie, am I right in saying, David?
Absolutely.
I should say that at the start of every ep, really.
It's about the past. Do you know what? It's about the past, retro films. It's about the present, what's out in the cinema now.
And it's about the future.
With a dash of movie news.
We've absolutely nailed this format.
Fingers crossed. I mean, looking at some of the YouTube comments we got recently for the Taylor Swift review.
Let it go,
Dave. Let it go.
They hate us.
Absolutely.
Welcome, everybody who's joined us on YouTube. Sorry we're late. We had a bit of some tech issues again. Sorry, my wife's just texted me now. Oh, please.
Not a problem. You've got to keep the family dead happy.
So, David, how the frickin' hell are you? Now, you mentioned last week about having some kind of gin night. Is that tonight or last night?
That is tonight.
Oh!
So tonight is going to be a David Fincher homage gin-sponsored.
Shit, that's on Netflix now, is it?
It is on Netflix now, starring Michael Fassbender. It dropped yesterday, and it was so tantalising, unfortunately. Well, I won't say because it's later on we'll focus on that element. But, yeah, it's a tantalising treat. It's got to be said that I hovered over the play button. That's why I said unfortunate.
Did you? Did you play any bit of it?
Oh, goodness me.
Did you? Did you open your prezi?
Too seductive.
What? How much did you watch?
Oil painting of Michael Fassbender looking at me with a sort of German tourist bucket hat.
Does Ryan know you've had a little watch before your evening of?
No, he doesn't whatsoever. So that's not good at all.
How much did you watch?
Well, put it this way, I would say it's this week's recommendation type of thing. So I'm leaping the menu. That's why I'm being hesitant. I'm not going straight into it. It's kind of like, but it would be...
Have you watched the entire movie?
Yeah, I have, unfortunately. I just couldn't quite... it was looking at my presents too early. I remember ruining one birthday because of that. Because I found the Ghostbusters HQ, not the literal one in New York, the toy one, in the basement that my mum had hidden. And it was hidden behind the fridge. And
It was...
There was wood behind the fridge, though.
Right.
But it's well camouflaged. It was in the it was a basement or garage, one or the other.
Right.
And I remember going down there and having a peek at it every now and then. and it used to fill me with dopamine. Do you know what I mean? It was like a 10-year-old's version of a line of cocaine type of thing.
So, right, are you going to tell Ryan that you've watched it?
No. Simple as that. It just is
simple. Grin on his face.
It's an element whereby, you know, you take a bit of the cake, then you go back for another bit of the cake, then another bit of the cake, then another bit of the cake, and suddenly all the cake's gone.
Right, it was David, like that. Are you? Is this what you're reviewing, is the current movie this week?
Please, no, it's not. But it will be my recommendation, so I'll mention it then. My recommendation to definitely watch The Killer. So I'll talk about it then. But the film
Sorry,
go for it.
I'm now excited about The Bloody Killer. You've just opened your Ghostbusters HQ. I'm interested in that. Not some bloody present that we all know. The Killer. Am I going to like it? That's all I want to know.
Basically, The Killer is a... it's
less, an element where, should we cut the crap and just talk about The Killer?
Yeah, okay. So what do you think I was going to say? Talk about presents again?
No, metaphors. What's the other movie you're going to review?
I don't know. I can talk about The Killer now if you
want.
What
do you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about The Killer. It's a mix. Do you know what I didn't want to say is it's a mixed bag? Because I always say that. It's David Fincher doing David Fincher, basically. And, well, David Fincher's always tried to zig and zag, doing things like... Because, I mean, he's famous for Seven, he's famous for Fight Club, he's famous for these neo-noir movies, isn't he? These kind of dark, kind of masculine in crisis thrillers. But he tries to zig and zag. Like, Social Network was a big hit, but that was definitely going against his expected style. The same with Benjamin Button. But this is definitely David Fincher doing David Fincher and fulfilling everything the Fincher fans want, which is a dark, macabre, film noir, neo-noir, kind of like thriller, basically. Simple as that. Classic things like the main character doesn't have a name, very Fight Club-esque, John Doe, Seven. It's got that very carefully choreographed cinematography. The sound is amazing. I would say, though, it's very much a character study. It's literally all voiceover, similar to Fight Club. Not all voiceover, but a lot of it is voiceover.
Okay, I feel like we need to take a breath. I don't know why. I'm trying to catch up with you. I'm so excited about watching this film, David. I don't know quite how to talk about it, so I don't want anything given away.
No, I won't give anything away. It's very much a character study. You're inside the mind of a man who is an assassin, and it's very voiceover heavy. It's very much a character study, and also it really breaks down the day-to-day routine of being an assassin. How he actually gets his weapons online, but he uses Amazon, things in that vein.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
You were disappointed.
No, I don't, not 100%. I think it's a case of, it's really ramping up to something ending, something special, and it doesn't have that, that magical ending that we got in Fight Club and Seven. It doesn't quite deliver at the end. It promises a big finale ending, and it doesn't quite deliver. So it's for David Fincher fans. And in a way, that's what a Netflix film is, isn't it? When they hook in directors, they give them a blank check and say, listen, you're not going to get a cinema release, but you can do whatever you want and you can play around with your personal fascinations and interests and we'll just pay the check at the end. You know, you'll be our trophy wife, basically. And get that.
So some people have watched it.
Oh,
you,
really?
David.
What do they think?
So I thought you'd be interested to hear what they say.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
John Salmon, no, DJ Swad says the voiceover at the start in particular was quite frankly boring.
Oh, God.
Peter RM said, I found the smug voiceover very off-putting.
Oh, dear.
Felt like a film that thought it was a lot cleverer than it actually was.
I really enjoyed the voiceover. I thought the third act, I thought, just was a bit of a damp squid in places. It wasn't terrible, but didn't quite deliver it. And I thought there's one fight sequence was in the dark, which is definitely up there with John Wick, but in a more grounded reality. Also, the use of the Smiths, he listens to loads of Smiths songs, when he's in assassin mode, and that was clever. That, you know, each track that was selected was like a pun on the attack taking place.
Do you sit on the edge of your seat watching it at any point? Oh, for God's sake, I'm gutted. I thought I'd.
You do in places. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed bag. Are you a fan of David Fincher?
I want a thriller. I love Seven, although when I watched it again, I thought it wasn't as. I loved Seven.
Did you like Girl of a Dragon Tattoo?
Never seen it.
If you're a David Fincher fan, like, have you watched Panic Room?
Didn't like it.
See, there you do. You know what I mean? It's a case
didn't
of
like
that.
That at all. Didn't believe it's any an, of it.
It's an element whereby, if you're a Fincher fan and you want to be there ticking off the Fincher, you know, crib list, it works for you. But for a larger audience, I think they'd find it a bit sterile in places.
Tommy said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Nothing groundbreaking, but very solid.
Yeah, there you go. Nothing groundbreaking, very solid. It's basically like, put it this way, yeah? It's when Oasis
split
up. Did
you just say,
up.
Yeah?
Oh, did I? I don't know. I may have.
I don't know.
I'm
quite
sure.
You.
Put yeah, it sort of go, yeah, yeah. Sort of getting ready for my gin night tonight, watching it again. Yeah, it's a basic element whereby if you're a big Oasis fan, you're going to buy the Noel Gallagher solo album. And it's like that. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of... And some people wouldn't go near an Noel Gallagher solo album. It's like if Oasis comes out, yeah, I'll lap that up. I don't know who that person was either. I've gone from Yar to like some kind of lout. But it's a case of...
Could we quickly you have a conversation with the Yar person and the Oasis bloke?
Well, I kind of enjoyed the whole Fincher phenomenon, and to have it, you know, laid on my lap on, you know, Netflix on Friday, there it was. No, it wasn't good, mate. Not what I'm about, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? I want a big screen entertainment burger. I'm not into these cuisine burger rubbishes. Just give me a bit of cow in between two bits of bread.
He sounds like a Blur fan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Guess who Naomi saw in Totnes Market yesterday?
We're going straight off subject. We've got to stay on focus like an assassin. So I'm joking. Go for it.
Damon Albarn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, now you're interested.
Now you've hooked me in, yeah. Sir. Now you've seduced me.
Looking at the organic veg. Just up the road. Totnes Market.
Talk about Fincher being Fincher. That's Albarn being Albarn, isn't it? Looking at the organic veg. Does he live locally then?
Yeah, he does.
Wowzers. Yeah. That is quite.
That was
true,
worth
isn't
a little detour, wasn't it?
It was, sir. I was totally cheap with detours. Detours is what it's all about.
I was literally just talking about you.
What to who?
Oh, you're live on YouTube, brilliant. You might not want this.
No, not conversation. No.
Thanks, sweet.
Broadcasting as we speak. What have you got there, little morsel, little snack to keep
you?
You
always want to know what I'm
I know.
Eating.
Dear God. And there's me being critical about detours earlier.
Exactly.
I
never
am
you
the contradictive mind. Man. Yeah. I am the contradictive man. It really has to be. What's another word for contradictive? A hypocrite. I am the hypocrite. Yeah. I am the hypocrite. Oh. God, it's usually you that goes into kind of. I've entered into a part of my psyche there.
Now, Dr. Greggles said, I feel like this is. I need to put this to you, David. Killing my vibe for tomorrow, guys. Any positive comments about the film?
Oh, there's lots. Well, this chap who's talking now, is he a Fincher fan? Because if he is, you know, it's a lovely Fincher bubble bath. You know, it really is giving you what you want.
Okay.
Simple as that. If that chap's there, do add a... if you're a fan of Fincher's back catalogue, you definitely will be given a lovely cinematic kiss on the lips.
Okay, David. So I'm not a Fincher aficionado at all. I've watched
Fincherado. That's a lovely now. I might grab that for my next hardback coffee book film encyclopedia. I think.
I don't know how many films of his I've watched. Maybe two or three. So if I don't really know his CV, I'll enjoy this movie.
You'll enjoy this movie. I think you'll find the third act slightly anticlimactic, but I thought the opening with the voiceover was good. And I think a lot of the, there's a fight sequence that's very, very strong. Michael Fassbender's very, very good. The use of music and visuals is very impressive. But if you're a Fincher fan, yes, it definitely delivers.
Rich Locke says it was missing a Fincher twisty.
Definitely, yes, 100%.
Why's it got to have a twisty?
Well, it's like the end of Seven, isn't it? And Fight Club has a twist that everyone feels is quite laboured now. But ultimately, that is the aspect of, you know, a lot of his thrillers. And also you expect that from a neo-noir. What are you eating, Captain? You've got to share. You've got to share the snack. You are...
how dare you? Speak. When I ask you what you eat, you go, why are you asking me what I eat? And then I'm eating and you go...
But I don't eat the Oreos live on air. Do you know what I mean? Not that it's an issue. Maybe I should, yeah.
Sorry, I was just handed a nice little lunch.
It does look amazing. Go for it. Wow, that is a proper meal. That's a proper, like, cuisine. I mean, David Allbone would be... Even the wooden plate has got a je ne sais quoi element to it.
You seen that?
That is incredible. I haven't. No, that's from Banshee, isn't it? Wow. Yeah. That's incredible
stuff.
Lovely,
that is. Do you want to see it?
Please do. That is such a superb photo, man. That really is. That is amazing.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you then, David.
That's amazing photo.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Get that signed. It's almost just asking to be signed by somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a great scene, him and the donkey. And if you've seen the film, you really appreciate it as like an important part of the plot.
So, what I want to know is, you're not going to tell Ryan that you've watched the movie.
I will not be telling
How
Ryan.
How can you lie? Because you'll just sit there going... He'll be like, oh, what do you think? And you'll be, yeah. This is going to be tricky, David.
I haven't thought it through. Now you've kind of like mentioned it in more depth. Oh, good grief, a bit of Windy Pops there. Goodness me. Let it digest. It's a case of...
I'll be Ryan. Hi, David.
Absolutely.
Shall I sit here?
No, you usually sit to my left, like we do in the cinema. So let's keep it symmetrical, as
right,
always.
Right, the killer. I'm so looking forward to this. You must be.
Oh, God, I just hope it meets the reviews.
I know. I can't believe you haven't watched it yet.
It's been tough, but... do you know what, pal? I'm going to open up. This relationship's based on the bedrock of truth. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I did watch the first 20 to 15 minutes.
Have you watched it all?
No, not like the entire thing.
Have you watched the third act?
No. I'll tell you what, I wish I hadn't read all the reviews because they might as well have told me what the third act is. You know what these bloody Kermode critics are like, type of thing. They might as well tell me what it was, but...
Is the third act a damp squib?
The reviewers say it could be, but...
Oh, do other reviewers say that, David?
I don't know, actually, but I'd say that with Ryan, I think, because obviously I want to...
If you tell him that you've already watched it, we'll be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
It wouldn't be the end of the evening, but I'd have a cold shoulder for 10 to 15... Well, 10 minutes, 8 minutes. He gets over things very quickly. If it was the other way round, there might be broken china in the room, so I'm well aware of that. So I might reveal to him, to sort of cushion my guilt, I might tell him I've seen the first 20 minutes and I have been a naughty boy and get a slap wrist, but I won't go for the whole hog.
I think you've got to be, well, personally, I think you've got to be honest.
And just reveal the whole thing. So I'm distracted by... I was like, is that a piece of meat or lettuce? I couldn't quite... I've got the brain like a squirrel. I just suddenly look over and I just think, oh, that looks impressive. Whatever that was, he popped in his mouth. That kind of, that does the job type of thing. I need to ultimately...
Are you obsessed with food?
I think I am. It's terrible, isn't it? It's a terrible situation.
Can I not eat this?
Oh, you go for it. You plough into it. It's like an absolute treat.
You mean you can't concentrate?
The thing is, it's like, I don't think you need a trainer if you eat like that. That's very healthy cuisine. That's very clean food, but looks nice. I mean, your partner needs to bring out some kind of book or blog, I think.
My partner?
Yes, you know, the other one in your life. Keep it like that. Keep it internet friendly. We don't want to peek behind the curtain too much.
Okay. So, David.
I don't think Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill got better meals than that when they were losing weight for their films. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? We need to move on.
Right. So, I've been really looking forward to your reaction to The Killer. And, well...
I don't think I've articulated it very well. I mean...
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I did some notes here.
No, it's fine. We've done our valve. We've got crack on.
I just think to myself, when people listen to this, they're just going to think it's a complete... he's giving his fans what they want, an intense adult psychological thriller with carefully orchestrated cinematography, with the Trent Reznor doing the soundtrack as usual, creating the usual gritty Fincher soundscape. However, the ending isn't poor, but a bit of an anti-climax. If you think of the ending for Fight Club All 7, it's definitely not up to that level, especially as you feel things are escalating during Act 1 and 2. And then the ending's a bit of a damp squid. There you go. I don't think
Mark I'm looking at the reviews now, David. New York Times, The Killer. New York Times, The Killer.
What happened there? That was like a tick.
Sorry. No, not at all. They're not.
What are they saying then?
Well, it's New York Times, The Killer. He's a deadly bore.
I'm surprised the New York Times, I thought they'd be ready to worship and celebrate an auteur. I thought, do you know what? I thought it'd be like, your more mainstream publication would turn its back on it. But then someone like the New York Times would be a lot more ready to salute that it's, classic Fincher and referencing his other films and how it pays a homage to his career beforehand and all that.
I just wanted you to be blown away.
The thing is, I think a Netflix viewing experience is so different to a cinema experience as well, though.
Yeah.
You haven't gone to the cinema. I was sat there watching some of it on my mobile phone, in my bed. And, it's nice. It's just like, it's more like David Fincher's done a music video. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's like hitting all the tropes, all the expectations as it goes along.
Right, now's the time for you to rate The Killer, David Fincher's Killer, out of 5 chalk ices. How many, let's have a guess.
Let's go for it,
Captain. Everybody, how many do we think David is going to give? I think I might get this right. How many do we think David is going to give The Killer, which is new on Netflix?
Came out just on Friday.
Yeah. David's had a sneak peek.
Absolutely. I kept going back to it through the day.
Let's see what everyone's putting in there. Yeah. Do you know what a lot of people... Yeah, I'm going with what a lot of people are saying. Okay, David, here we go. David Fincher's The Killer, much anticipated. How many chalk ices out of 5 are you going to give it?
Four.
Ooh, I gave it 3.5. See, it's four. It's a 4 movie to you.
Well, the thing is, I'm a Fincher fan, so I like. I'm listening to the Trent Reznor soundtrack. I've seen his other films. You can see how it's got a link within the cinematography of his previous movies. All those different elements. It's Fincher doing Fincher. And also, you don't... I think, you know, you don't get many. Do you know what it is? You know, it's like a dad movie to me, The Assassin. And it shows how old I am in the element that, do you know, it's a case of like, it's what a middle-aged bloke in the 90s would have enjoyed going to see in the cinema.
Okay.
Do you know what
I mean?
It's
almost I now want to watch it.
But you're not going to have the crazy highs of Seven and Fight Club.
Someone's put here, Dr. Greggles has put here, harsh review for a four choc icer.
The thing is, it's a harsh review because I'm seeing it through the eyes of people who aren't Fincher fans, who have just seen it. Because the thing is, I'm trying to give someone some kind of guidance.
Or me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you're not a man. So, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Because the question is, will I like it, David? Should I watch it tonight? And I'm thinking, well, you know, if the last time you saw Seven, you weren't overwhelmed and you haven't watched loads of Fincher movies, perhaps, and you're watching it purely as, is this a good thriller without any Fincher baggage? You might leave slightly underwhelmed.
Oh, listen, I was underwhelmed with Seven because I knew it was coming. The first time I saw it, it blew my pants off.
It's not... Do you know what? You're going to soil your pants, but they're not going to explode.
Lovely.
There you go. I should have just said that at the beginning and it made a lot more sense. So for my own personal review, I'll give it four ice chocks. For someone who's just scrolling through Netflix and sees, oh, there's a Fassbender thriller, I like him, I'll give that a look, they might find it a bit, well, for instance, the chap in the chat box below said, you know, very overly serious voiceover, not very good, you know, a bit up itself. But I'm thinking of like, oh, this reminds me of Fight Club, and oh, I remember that film. I'm seeing it very much through the lens of the kind of Fincher pantheon, the canon type of thing.
Okay.
You know, and how, and also when you see Fincher interviewed, he's very cynical, deadpan, he's a bit of a nihilist, and you're seeing that through it as well. You know, it's like an auteur film experience, whereby when you're watching a Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you're not just watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you're watching it alongside the back catalogue. And if you're unable to do that, it loses a lot of its momentum. But even then, I found the third act...
squib.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, everybody. Well, not everybody. David, in particular. Thank you so much for this week's new movie review.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. That was quite a muddled mess, but I hope people get something out of that. And it was a mess created by one man, Dave Edwards. So I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else.
So...
if that makes sense. Isn't that sarcasm, though. Sorry. Just giving you more to edit. I apologise. Editing out my neuroses.
David Edwards.
So, this week's movie review, isn't it? No, it's movie news, isn't it?
Movie news. So we're not doing what I saw in the cinema last night.
Oh, fucking hell.
Don't worry, we don't have to do that. That's fine. We've done The Killer, which is a current, up-to-date, contemporary, fresh piece of cinema. Or I could be very, very quick about this cinema review.
Okay, this is a bonus new movie review, and you have this is the 60-second review. Thank you, David.
Thank you. This is a film starring Nicolas Cage. It's called Dream Scenario, and it's about Nicolas Cage plays a college professor, and that's a large piece of lettuce there. There we go. It's lost my concentration. That's eaten into my 60 seconds. Nicolas Cage is a college professor. He basically aspires to be a great man, a great writer, but he's never actually printed any work. He's never written anything successful. But what does make him big is that he starts appearing in the dreams of his family. Then he starts appearing in the dreams of his staff. Then he starts appearing in the dreams of friends outside the family. And then the whole world start dreaming about him.
30 seconds left.
An internet viral sensation. And but then the dreams start turning and becoming quite negative. They go from... he starts appearing in people's nightmares, basically. And then it takes a turn for the worst, and his celebrity fame that he once embraced now goes nasty. if for very different reasons to the killer, the ending, once again, is like a clever idea, but they ran out of ideas for the final act. But I enjoyed Act 1 and 2 so much, I wouldn't say I left on a negative par. It always goes a bit sci-fi at the end. The ending I didn't even really actually fully understand.
What's it called?
Dream Scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good. Michael Cera is very good in that. I mean, what's usually quite a cliched idea, he goes to see like advertising marketing people how to like, you know, turn this dream phenomenon into money, and that's almost quite a done idea. But Michael Cera kind of like sprinkles it with some interesting one-liners that are rather good.
So how many choc ices out of five are you going to give it?
Four.
Wow, 2 4s.
It is very good in places.
Is it,
you know,
really?
And also, Nicolas Cage is very amusing in it. But I'd say they just didn't know where to take it at the end. But there's a lot of Twilight Zone, there's a lot of Black Mirrors like that, where they've got a great idea, but they don't quite know how to finish it up. And after a while, you just think to yourself, stop being so critical, Edwards. You know, you've had a good 40 minutes of entertainment there. Just because they couldn't land the plane doesn't mean you need to wander up to the plane with a machine gun and just shoot the pilot. Do you know what I mean? Well, he's crashed it. He's dead anyway. You don't need to add to it by, you know, wasting bullets on him.
I've literally got my alarm clock here, or whatever, it's not a wristwatch. You've got 15 seconds to tell us what you ate and review it.
I didn't eat anything because I had trapped wind. But I had a tub of Pringles with me, but I just couldn't get rid of the trapped wind, and it was very frustrating.
David, thank you so much for this week's new movie review.
Mercy, I was going to say bonjour. Mercy, hello, doesn't make sense. Well, the rest of the review...
So, movie news this week, David.
Because there's lots of movie news.
Oh, well, pick your, you know, top three or two or something.
Number one, the actor strike is now over. It's not entirely clear what they've got, but it's a case of, what was that? You have to just tell me what that was. That little, was that a prawn that you popped in your mouth then? Or
it's a little bit of pork.
Oh, it looked... You've got someone who puts a lot of love and tender care into your food. I can just tell
it. She's a lovely lady, and we love each other.
Absolutely. Simple as that. There we go. Was that a pee? Which sort of element's that?
Right, go on.
Basically, the actor strike is over, and it is a case of the actors are now going to get 11% bonus. I saw that pee being slid into the side of your mouth there. That's I'm joking, so you can edit that out. So it's up to you where you edit. I'm sort of giving you work there. So, over again. The actor strike is over, and low-tier actors will be given 11% rise in the minimum that they actually do, which is quite a win, because the directors and writers only got 5%. They'll also get residuals from streamers if a TV show gets large viewings.
These shows created now, or are we going back?
I don't know about that. That's very, very true. 100%, I don't know about that. And also, there's more rules surrounding AI. You know, Hollywood studios can't take your likeness and use you in a later production. But I don't know about that. But do you know what the interesting thing is? Is that, a lot of people say that actors feel as though they've won with Netflix. But it's been revealed that to actually have... I think you've got to have 20% of the subscribers need to have watched your TV show for you to start to get residuals to a certain degree. But apparently it's been revealed that there's only a very slight handful of TV shows that have that 20% eyeball action. Yeah. And the other thing that I have to be aware of, that Netflix might introduce this idea of, okay, we'll give you a bonus if you go over the 20%, but if you go below a certain point, maybe we'll actually take away money. And that might be a case whereby, you know, we'll show you the data. You didn't do as well as you thought, did you?
Oh, right.
That's Netflix
talking
now.
So I know Amazon talking about giving you a boner if you get 20%.
As in, like, the biological erection, is that what you're referencing? Goodness me. I think that's one we'd all have if you got 10%, for crying out loud. That's not just to one man behind a typewriter, that's to the world of men. I was about to say all women, but no, you can't be woke about that, can you? A boner is just... Edit that out, please. I don't know where I'm going there. That's just a stream of consciousness, and that's... When you go down that stream called consciousness, that's how you get cancelled. No, not at all, not at all. As long, I think the only thing is if it doesn't make sense.
No, that's fine, you know, it's fine.
No, you
definitely
don't, you don't.
Sense.
You absolutely
Movie
don't.
News 2.
Movie News 2. Warner Brothers, once again, has made a film, and then he's just not going to put it on its streamer or in the cinema. They did it with Batgirl. They are now doing it with...
What? They've made a film and they're not going to what?
Release it. And they've done that several times now. They've made an entire Scooby-Doo animated movie. They made an entire Batgirl film that had a Michael Keaton cameo.
Why? What? Not good enough?
Well, it's a case of... There's two reasons. Because they have just merged with Discovery, there's a tax element where if you're a brand new business, you can actually get a tax reduction with products that you feel is not up to par because the company has just merged. And Hollywood are in a massive tizzy over this because they're not respecting the artist. They're just seeing a way to make money. So the thing is, it'll help you tax-wise, number one. And number two, they're not 100% confident in the film. And they won't have to advertise it because promotion and advertising, that's if you give it a cinema release, can be equally as expensive as the actual movie itself. But then people
how
say just put it on streaming.
How gutted would you be?
But if you are going down that tax route, it can never come out. Do you know what I mean?
You
are
bearing
that
with the face of a killer.
Me. Absolute face of a killer. And John Cena appears in it, and it was a live action Looney Tune film. And it's just, and the director went on Twitter and he spent, I've spent 3 years on this film, and it, or X rather, and it won't see the light of bloody day, Captain.
Mm.
The other thing I'll say,
Dr. Gregor said, isn't it about maintaining the rights too?
Yes, it could be. I don't think so, because it's Looney Tunes. Warner Brothers just naturally own Looney Tunes. It's part of their archive. But he is right about that. He is right about that. Because Stan Lee made a very, very poor... Not Stan Lee, sorry, but the company who owned it. Roger Corman. He is quite right about this. Roger Corman made a terrible Fantastic Four film purely just to keep the actual rights for an extra period of time. So you are right about that. Was that Dr. Greggles? You are right about that. People do that just so they can actually own the rights of the actual products.
I like it when people say do-do.
Do-do. Absolutely. Do-do that, Dr. Cradles.
Just do-do. I think my sister doo-doo. And I used to call each other the do-dos.
The do-dos. That's got legs.
Yeah.
That would be a great double act for children's BBC, I think.
Movie News 3.
They, after the success of Mario, they are now going to do a big-budget live-action version of Zelda. Directed by Wes Ball, the guy who's just directed the new Planet of the Apes and also did Maze Runner. He's going to direct it, and it's got, I can't remember the name of the producer, but it's the guy who produced the original Bryan Singer X-Men films, and it's all go, 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 do, 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 as you say, as you rightly
go,
pointed
go,
out.
Go, papa. A do, do, do,
do. Go, when you go, 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 make sure you do, 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 do.
When you go, 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 make sure you
do, 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 do.
Okay, right. Yeah. Is there a Movie News 4?
There is. Kevin Feige has introduced something called Marvel. He is the brain genius behind the Marvel Dynasty universe, and he has introduced this new element called Marvel Spotlight. And then when the brand now appears in front of you called Marvel Spotlight, that means that the TV show or the film will not interconnect with the other films. It is a standalone narrative, because there's been a lot of feedback to more casual fans, which links back to the whole David Fincher element, whereby they don't understand the backstories, they haven't watched all the TV shows and films, so they feel swamped in all this extra fan information.
Agreed.
So he's bringing out, I'm sure Feige will be happy with that, Feige. So when Marvel Spotlight comes up, relax, people. You don't need to have seen, you know, WandaVision season 1 or Loki season 2 to get it.
Okay. Is that the end of movie news?
Just two very quick things. I'll be really quick. Darren Aronofsky is going to do an Elon Musk film for A24.
What, a docy?
Absolutely.
What, a documentary?
No, an actual film.
Oh.
So, like, he's writing the script. It may not get actually filmed, but he's writing the script for A24. Oh. There's a new Ghostbusters trailer.
Oh, someone mentioned that in the chat.
Which looks rather interesting. And also, one last thing I'll say. I've dropped it on the floor. This is interesting. There's a horror film they've just filmed called S-V-A-L-T-A, Svelta. And it's written by, picking the old teeth there, needs to be... which is fine, not a problem at all. I don't know why I said that. Sorry, I don't know why I got distracted by it. So it sounded really toxic and a bit
negative.
You wouldn't want to do that on a date, would you? Sort of out of the blue.
Picking your teeth there, aren't you?
Picking your teeth.
I'm sorry, darling, but...
So it's not a problem, though, at all. You pick away. I don't know why I had to verbalise that, like a football commentary. Okay, so it's written by and starring Nick Frost, and it's a horror film, and it stars Aisling B, who plays the Aisling B. I never get her name right, horrifically. It's a family vacation on a remote island, but a serial killer is on the loose. Nick Frost has written it. He's starring in it. It was going to star Lena Headey, the actress from Game of Thrones and Family with Fighting My Family, but B has taken the role instead, and it just looks like one to look out for. You know,
Nick Frost still.
Svelta, I believe.
Svelta. Okay. A family's vacation to a remote getaway takes an unexpected turn when they discover the island they're on is inhabited by a serial killer. Eek!
So that'll be an interesting one to check out.
Director also, Stefan Haas. What's he done before?
He's done a few short films and low-budget comedy films, but this is his first proper production.
Okay. Well, David, thank you so much for this week's Movie Foos.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your eardrums.
David Edwards, Random Movie Review.
Okay, so it's the random movie review from last week. This is where Matt...
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mandy.
Hello.
Oh, my word.
I know.
What's happened there? What's happened?
Well, look at her. She's got all this mate. Wow, you look like Susie Sue from Susie and the Banshees.
That's it. Susie Sue. That's it.
What's that about?
Well, ask
her. Why have you got on makeup? You just look like a tomato soup has just exploded in front of you. You're just full of red. You look like you've been murdered, or you, or someone's
murdered. No, don't go.
No, I can't
be doing
it. Every
week, you slagger off.
I'm done with it.
The thing is, though, I'm not being confrontational, but she's going to go out in the streets looking like that.
Well, let her. Just looks like she wants to look like that. Let her look like that.
Let me be me.
It's covered in tomato sauce, which is, I know it's supposed to be lipstick, but it's a poor execution.
Why do you treat me this way?
Are you going to answer her?
I am.
She just said to you, why do you treat me this way?
I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to be ridiculed by society. I want you to be embraced by society, and going out looking like that, like you've had a lipstick grenade chucked at you.
Zoe F in the chat's just said, I'll leave off, David.
Fair enough. I'll
My
leave off,
fiance
and I'll let her be
is a better lover than you.
Friend.
Did you just hear her?
No, what did you say?
My fiancé is a better lover than you, and he's a Hoover.
Well, it means that you're all about the sex, because you can't have a chat with a Hoover afterwards. With me, okay, I'm perhaps not as aerodynamic as a Hoover, but we can talk about, you know, the price of bread and fish afterwards and have like a conversation. Talk about news and current affairs.
Okay, David, so the movie that Mandy found for you, or you chose, was what? Oh, The Planet of the Apes.
It certainly was, back in retro mode.
Right, here we go. I mean, this is a classico that I've never watched, David. So I'm hanging off every single...
You've never watched Planet of the Apes?
No, not at all. I don't know anything about it.
it's definitely one to check out. It was very interesting watching it again. It's been years since I've watched it, perhaps decades, and you can really see how it was a cutting-edge movie at the beginning. It's got to be said, it opens up with Charlton Heston in his spaceship, and that scene is very dated. The green screen, the decor of the spaceship is incredibly dated, and I was thinking, oh dear, this is going to be hard work. But once he actually starts wandering...
What's it about? I don't know anything, David. What's it about?
Basically, astronaut crashes his spaceship in this foreign alien environment. Okay, so crashes the spaceship, foreign alien environment. And it was written by Rod Sterling, the guy who created the Twilight Zone. So it's definitely got that vibe. You know, so the plot's very clever. We don't know where he is either, unless you've seen the movie poster and you've read a few reviews. You don't know where he is either. So he's wandering around this alien environment. He's jettisoned from his spaceship, which at the opening you think, dear God, this looks like something out of Barbarella. It looked really poor. But then you start seeing human beings. They're not aliens, but they're primitive cave people. Then you see they're being hunted by someone on a horse. That person on the horse turns out to be an ape, a human ape, and these humans are being rounded up. And Charlton Heston gets, like, you know, dragged into this. He's an astronaut, but he finds himself being sucked into this kind of, like, you know, primitive humans, like cavemen and women, being chased by apes on horses. And he doesn't know what's going on. It's almost like Marty McFly in Back to the Future. You know, he's living a nightmare. It's like, what is this topsy-turvy world I've entered into? And Charlton Heston, he's a bit theatrical at times, but he's definitely watchable, certainly. And the Planet of the Apes makeup, I think, definitely stands up and works well. It's not as good as the CGI they use now, obviously, but it's still very good. And the action sequence of the apes chasing the cavemen, it's well edited, and the cinematography is really good.
When was this made?
68. So it's very, very early. And the makeup, you can still go with it. And it's still very, very immersive. It goes without saying.
How many sittings?
Two sittings.
Oh, hang on a minute. Is it all right to see Naomi? That's all right. No, not you. No, sorry, I was just talking...
Oh, the pose, I thought... Absolutely.
This has been an absolutely mental episode.
Absolutely. I thought she was going to give me the recipe for the lunch or something like that, or something sort of back to that.
Fucking hell, we've had lunch. What have we had? It's been insane. My neighbour pops around. Oh, God. Right. So how many sittings did...
Second act started to drag a bit. I think, you know, you've had all the revelations, you know what's happening... But the ending... Now, we've had two films today where I'd say the ending dropped the ball. This film does not drop the ball at the ending, even though I knew what the ending is.
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, you don't know... You don't know the ending of Planet of the Apes?
I don't know anything about it. All I know is apes.
Oh, flipping out,
mate.
Don't
swear.
Sorry, no, sorry. I apologise. You need to sit down and watch Planet of the Apes, though.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The ending's brilliant. The ending's fantastic. If something's well executed, I remember someone ruined the third episode for season 3 of Succession for me, which was a massive twist. So I knew what was going to happen, but because the pace of it and the performance and the presentation, the drama was so spot on and so iconically done, I still got sucked into it even though I knew what was going to happen. So, I mean, the ending of Planet of the Apes is so iconic now. The Simpsons have parodied it, I think, twice. And it's brilliant. It's just still great stuff, the ending. Even though I can see it coming 1,000 miles away, it makes everything else before it really make sense.
Right, really David, good. All I know is the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, well, that is that image. Ending,
but I don't know what that means. So I don't know what that means. That doesn't mean anything to me, the Statue of Liberty. Or I just have that image from the film in my head.
But the thing is that there's nothing else that's revealed after. He just goes on his knees and he just shouts, no, no!
I don't want to know anything more. Don't know. No.
But if you know the Statue of Liberty already...
No. It doesn't mean anything. I don't know. It's just the Statue of Liberty. I don't know what that means in context of the whole...
Yeah, so I'm not going to give anything away to you, but it's just, yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's guess how many... Oh, let's have a little listen to a little bit of Planet of the Apes.
Good morning, Dr. Zero.
Good morning, Julius. How's our patient today?
No change. The minute you open the door, he goes into his act.
Well, and what do we want this morning? Do we want something? Come on, speak. Come on, speak. Do we want some sugar, old-timer? Hmm?
You could get hurt doing that, Doctor.
Oh, don't be silly. He's perfectly tame.
They're all tame until they take a chunk out of you.
Well, Bright Eyes, is our throat feeling better? It still hurts, doesn't it?
See? He keeps pretending he can talk.
That Bright Eyes is remarkable. He keeps trying to form words.
You know what they say. Human see, human do. Now what?
He seems to want something.
I'd be careful, Doctor. What'd I tell you?
Oh,
try that again and I'll break your arm! Good morning, Your Excellency.
Dr. Zayas.
Good morning, sir.
Open up, please.
I'm so glad you could come. Sir, he's over here. Bright Eyes. Show him. Go ahead, do your trick. Speak. Go on, speak again. There. Can you believe it?
Yes, amusing. A man acting like an ape.
Dr. Zayas, I could swear he's answering you.
He has a definite gift for mimicry.
Most unusual. He's using that old blank of his clothing.
Okay. I can't believe... I didn't expect you to go. The ending is going to blow your knickers off.
I think, see, the thing is, I think what happens when I review these is a case of, it's like, it blew my knickers off, but then I've got to think in my head, is it going to blow David Earl's knickers off?
Oh my word, someone else is coming in now. No, it's still recording. I've been like 15 minutes. Jesus Christ, honestly, David.
Who's that now? Is that Dessert? I'm looking forward
Everyone's
to it. It's almost like,
it's like Piccadilly Circus. Honestly, we can't do this at lunchtime on a Saturday again. This is just awful.
Or have a sign out saying podcasting. Is that rude? So I don't know if that's rude. I don't know. So I didn't mean that rude.
Movie podcasting. Stay out. Do not enter.
I've got a sign outside my flat. Why haven't you got one outside yours? Podcasts, you know, currently in action.
Honestly, it's real. I can't relax because I feel like these people are just going to be walking in and go, "Oh, can I have that, mate?"
You can't have that. Like it's a Monty Python sketch.
No, exactly. Can you take us seriously, please? We're 58 in the film and video TV charts.
Meet us halfway. Take me seriously, at least.
Right, David. So let's guess at what you're going to give Planet of the Apes out of 5. Okay, I'm going to have a little guess. Okay, what are people going to go for? Richard Bayliss has had a guess. I'm having a guess now. How many chalk ices out of 5 are you... Eubanks has had a guess. Are you going to give Planet of the Apes? Okay, here we go, David. Over to you.
Four.
Oh. I gave it 5.
There were elements where I'd say Heston's performance can be a bit theatrical. There are times where, like, it feels like... The thing is, I feel bad about giving it 4, but I'm telling you how I feel. In the sense, I think my issues with it are more because of the date and the era rather than sloppy filmmaking. Because there's times like when he's in the prison, it feels like an episode from like a Star Trek TV show. Sometimes the music's a bit over theatrical. Heston I enjoyed, but at times it's over theatrical. But some people like that pulpy 60 vibe. But on the whole, bloody good stuff. So I think, you know,
genuinely, you mean that?
Oh yeah. Rod Sterling's amazing. You can tell it's written by Rod Sterling. Obviously he adapted the novel that was originally a French novel, but it's very good, and it's well before its time, and it's, you can tell why people have constantly redone it, not just because it's a well-known brand to market, because it's got the DNA of solid storytelling as well. It's a really clever idea, and Rod Sterling did a great job of, you know, bringing it to the screen.
David, thank you so much for this week's random movie review.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
David Edwards, movie tips.
David, have you got any movie tips this week?
Well, my movie tip was The Killer.
Okay.
So I don't want to ruin that.
What about Paul Schrader?
Very, very true. Quite right. Paul Schrader's BFI masterclass is definitely worth checking out. He's going through a mucus cold at the time.
No, he's like that in every interview.
Oh, is he really? Is he really?
Yeah.
I've listened to him on a few podcasts, and he didn't... I guess he is a bit like that. You are right. So like a Jabba the Hutt's palace creature.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting is that he is a different style.
Do you want to explain who he is to the people?
Absolutely. He is the writer of Taxi Driver, and also the director and writer of American Gigolo, the well-known Richard Gere film. So he's... and also he was the main writer on Raging Bull for Scorsese. So, you know, he's got a big pedigree, particularly in the 70s and 80s. But one thing I would say is when he teaches you writing skills, it's very different to your formulaic style
it's
of writing.
It's good, isn't it? I love it.
Yeah, it's not just Robert McKee, all about structure and, you know, save the cat and your character's got to be likeable. He comes from it from a very different point of view.
What are the two main issues in your life at the moment?
Yes, absolutely. And then turn that into a metaphor. Yeah, definitely into a visual metaphor. And the element of, like, finding dramatic irony within that. So the idea of, like, a man going nowhere, make him a taxi driver, you know, things in that vein. And it's a case of, you know, finding your inner demons, inner issues. So it's almost like creative writing therapy. It's not like, look at the marketplace, what do people enjoy, make that, what's the latest trend. It's more about, you know, going deep into your own soul. Ultimately,
and what is that? Is that the BFI screenwriting lecture?
Yes, BFI masterclass screen lecture.
And that's on YouTube.
It's very, very good. It's on YouTube, and if you can get past the mucus, there's a lot there.
Is it mucus?
Or I don't know. Well, what is it? Do you think then? Because I thought maybe he caught something on the plane over. But you are right. I've never heard it that bad.
No.
But it almost reminded me. You know when you get those Greek mythologies whereby you've got like a hunchback who's deformed, who's filled with wisdom, but the person can't look through the ugliness to hear the jewels
and
of wisdom.
It's almost Paul Schrader.
There you go.
A deformed hunchback.
It's like you need to look through the ugliness, the aesthetics.
Jesus
and just
Christ,
listen
to you might listen to this.
Let's hope not. I don't want some mucus trolling.
There's no way he'll get through the first 55 minutes of this.
I'm safe. I will sleep well tonight.
Oh, God. David, thank you so much for this week's movie. Oh, what were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. No. I'm ready for the next chapter, Captain. Ready for the next chapter.
David Edwards, random movie generator.
Okay, it's the random movie generator. Oh man, he's turned her back. I don't blame her. He's turned her back on you.
I was only trying to give her words of wisdom to help her. Society's a nasty place.
The random movie generator, David. Excited?
Oh, massively.
I feel like you got a great one last. Planet of the Apes was a good one.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, if I'm pausing slightly, it's because I need a wee, but I think I should be okay. Sorry, that's the only reason why I paused, but it's fine. I've checked my bladder.
This episode.
I've gone into my inner body.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fine. Don't worry, we'll move ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, 100% sure. Okay. 100%. I just wanted to make sure why you wondered if I was a bit distant then.
No.
It was not the pod, it was my bladder.
No.
Nothing personal.
Okay.
I feel as though I've been a bit toxic, you know, mentioning you picking your teeth and stuff like that, and then suddenly gazing over. It's my bladder that's got in the way. Three's a crowd.
Okay, let's find the genre. Let's find the genre of the first movie that you might be reviewing next week. Okay. Please tell Mandy, or tell her to push the button.
Stop.
Family.
Ooh. I love a family drama.
Now, let's go for the genre.
Stop.
2010s.
Okay. So, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Okay.
Go.
Okay, okay. Right, Mandy, please generate four family movies from the 2010s. She has done... Okay, she's got them in her belly. She's spinning them around. Please tell Mandy when to stop spinning the four movies.
Stop.
Oh, I'm glad you landed on this. I don't know why. I just like the cover. It's called The Young and Prodigious T.S. Spivitt.
What is that?
Don't know. I've
never heard of it in my
Helena
life.
Helena Bonham Carter's in it. I love the cover. Looks great. The Young and Prodigious T.S. Spivitt. The Young...
So I've never heard of that.
The Young and Prodigious T.S. Spivitt. Interesting. Okay. Right, let's find the second movie that you might be reviewing. Let's find the genre of the second movie that you might be reviewing next week. Over to you. Take your time.
Stop.
Western.
Oh, blimey. You never know, though. I've done well with those in the past, people.
Okay, now let's choose the decade.
Stop.
1970s.
Okay.
Generate four westerns from the 1970s. Mandy has done. And now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning those four movies.
Stop.
My Name is Nobody. Henry Fonda, Terence Hill.
Right.
My Name is Nobody.
Never heard of that one.
Okay.
It's almost like a modern film has taken that title. I don't know if it's a self-reference to that or not. Don't know any of those movies. I'm going into no man's land now, the desert of nowhere.
Okay, let's find the third, the genre of the third movie that you might be reviewing next week. Over to you, David.
Stop.
Mystery.
Okay.
And let's find the decade.
That's okay. I can work with that. Stop.
1950s.
Oh, God.
Mandy has generated four mystery movies.
Well, it could be interesting, like a Marlon Brando or a Monroe or a Billy Wilder. They look good.
Do you know what? Well, I'm not going to say, but each one of them has got a really good review on IMDb.
Okay.
So
okay,
here we
okay.
go. Four mystery movies from the 1950s. Over to you, Mandy, spinning them.
vertigo.
Ah!
Goodness me, I'd be up for that. Well, that's one of David Fincher's all-time favourite films. So we've gone full circle there, the ultimate psychological thriller.
Mm.
I'd be up for check. I haven't seen that for years. I think I saw that during my A-levels. So I don't think I've watched that for years. And I constantly see clips in documentaries because it's always referred to. I mean, I think within the cineast, you know, Jeeves' world, it's better than Psycho. Do you know what I mean? It's like Psycho and Birds is for your pedestrian Hitchcock fan, and Vertigo's the one Scorsese and Fincher constantly bang on about. Wowzers, I'd love to watch that.
Okay, so the young and prodigious T.S. Spivitt, My Name is Nobody, and Vertigo. So I've given each of these movies an A, a B, and a C. I've jumbled them about, or have I, David? Yes, I have. Or have I? Yes, I have.
I could really do with Vertigo. Really do with that.
Okay, so you've got to choose now. What movie you are going to be reviewing next week? Is it going to be A, B, or C?
A.
Vertigo.
Oh goodness.
He's over the moon.
There is some kind of omnipotent God looking down saying, let's give Dave
a couple of absolute corkers back to back.
I have. Absolutely, I have.
Vertigo.
That's great. That's brilliant. I look forward to checking that out. I haven't seen that for years. It's constantly referenced all the time. Because, I mean, there was they did a documentary about Hitchcock and Truffaut when they met up and wrote that book together. And Vertigo was constantly referred to there. And Wes Anderson, Fincher, Scorsese, they were just having kittens over it. Simple as that. Whole litter of them.
Well, can't wait to hear what you think of it. David, thank you so much for this mental episode. Apologies, everyone, if it was hard to keep track of it. I helped.
I apologise if I distracted.
No, we had a lot of distractions, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to slip into the Patreon show to answer some questions now. But thank you, everyone, for listening. And please, if you can subscribe and leave reviews and blah blah wherever you listen to this.
Like, subscribe, thumbs up, all that shebang. Please do.
Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for listening this week. Let's slip into the Patreon shed. Thank you, David.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your eardrums, people. Hugely appreciated. Bye bye.